Monday, it's Maesterclass. This is a short form podcast where I wax on academically about a topic that interests me relative to Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon or something along those lines. If you'd like your question featured on Maesterclass, book at baldmove.com. My guest is Kelly DeVries, a specialist on medieval warfare. I was given his book, Medieval Military Technology, second edition. Don't forget to rate and review on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts. Here is Dr. Kelly DeVries.
This is irregular.
Well, I suppose that life is irregular.
This is from Aaron. Aaron asks, how is knowledge of warfare passed on? In the modern era, we have military academies and such to pass on that information and create the next generation of officers and strategists. Did folks simply learn on the job or under a commander, or did they travel to learn from master commanders? Or is this something closer to how we see Tyrion learn through books or his innate mental prowess?
That's a very good question. And I could probably answer yes to all of those.
We were mentioning Alexander earlier, right?
Yeah. I mean, Alexander was taught. Aristotle taught him how to critically think. And so he was able to take that and use it in the warfare that he'd learned from his father, from fighting the Illyrians and so forth. There's the same thing with the Black Prince, who starts his combat his combat experience at Gracie at the age of 16, and will carry through all the way through until he dies early of some disease that he's probably gotten in Spain. There is definitely on the job training, shall we say. Everybody learns that. Almost everybody who will become a lord is expected to learn something on the battlefield, that nobody's going to put a newbie lord out there with his retinue right at the beginning unless he wants to use him as fodder. Obviously, you're going to have somebody who's more experienced and so forth. And there are books. There's no question. Avigetius has spread quite far geographically and throughout the entirety of the Middle Ages. Until we get at the very end, when somebody like Christina Pizan, another woman who's interested in warfare, but she will write essentially using Vegetius, but then recognizing that gunpowder weapon is changing things. And in the early 15th century, she writes a Fate of Arms book that seems to have pretty wide circulation. There are others in the 14th, 15th century that build up.
So what about like someone like Charlemagne? Is he having his his warlords, I suppose? Is he having them like schooled? Are they trained?
I wish we knew. With Charlemagne, it'd be really fun to know. It has been postulated by certain Carolingian scholars, and as much doubted by other Carolingian scholars, that Charlemagne, library contained volumes of Vegetius and Frontinus, the classical texts, and that these would be read or read to them. But we don't know for sure. There's no question that the experience on a battlefield accrues to through warfare. You get more and more, but William the Conqueror only fights two battles. Add a third one, but he's not in the battle and he's not really able to see it. How did he get the knowledge that he did? Basically, Hastings, he ran in a very tactically adept and what seemed to be a tactically new or novel notion, novel tactics were being used then. And how did he acquire all that knowledge? Is it just from two battles he fights? Or is it just from the first battle that he uses in the second battle? We're not sure. There's no question that Vegetius and Frontinus were around. There's no question that they were used to enlighten military education. But literacy rate would have been low enough that those would, in some instances, have to be read. And, are we going to be able to understand what the tactics of Vegetius or the tactics of Front or the Frontinus examples of strategy and tactics? Are they going to be able to learn those by listening to them and so forth?
Let me ask
So
this
I think,
question in a different way. This is
okay.
not his question, it's mine. How often were these battles kind of a no-huddle offense?
I think there were always plans and battles. In fact, we do have a couple of battle plans from the 15th century, one that John the Fearless used in 1416, one that was supposed to be for Agincourt in 1415, and these still survive. So there were clearly plans that were drawn out, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do with the various unit commanders. How much it was they just went on the battlefield. There was certainly enough initiative granted to each of the commanders, especially since communication up and down the line would be very difficult. That we do know they used banners. We do know that they used music. We do know that they used couriers to get
Music to
from.
set the tone for the march?
No, music to give directions in the battle.
Oh, okay. All right.
Philippe Contamine, who passed on a couple of years ago, but was probably the greatest military medieval military historian of his generation. He wrote a wonderful little article on the use of music. He was able to track the use of music in the French army during the Hundred Years' War, and so it seems that that was used, especially big horns, to get the word around. But I think there was a greater deal
What
of
other
initiative.
instruments besides horns were used to communicate?
Oh, drums would have been used too.
Okay, all right.
I mean, the Ottomans had drums galore, so that's probably how they did it. They used to have these drums that were hung off the sides of camels, and they would give a big beating, and they would use it also to demoralize the other side. But when an army is in, if we take something like Crecy, or we take something like Poitiers or Agincourt, we've definitely got the inklings of what the original place on the battlefield of armies, and then and they're obviously giving directions at that point, especially if they do a flanking maneuver or a feint or something along those lines. I mean, William the Conqueror used the feint to break the lines. I mean, he would fake running away and see if the lines of the Anglo-Saxons would break, which they do. So there's all sorts of different tactics that can be used at the beginning of battle, and commands that could be given in the beginning of the battle. At Poitiers, it appears that Edward, Black Prince, will put archers in the woods on one side and the vineyards on the other side of the French army is coming through, and he says, "Let the first line come in, because they'll come in and we'll take them with our men at arms behind you. But as the second one comes in to relieve them, unload on them with your arrows." And according to a couple of sources, that's precisely what happened. And that second line is completely disrupted, if not, effectively killed by those archers being in that position, but also knowing to let the first line pass them and to keep hidden. So that, there's some tactical sophistication at the beginning of battle. Now, how can they change? How, for example, if there's a flanking maneuver, does the commander who might see it, or one of the
Yeah, how do
scouts
you
out there who
switch
might
up
see it,
the where how do you go to plan B, right?
how do you go to plan B? And that seems to have a lot of initiative. I mean, they would have that be told, I'm sure, if this happens, then you do this. If this happens, you do this, for the people who are on the flanks of the army. And they would try to counter it. We see with Alexander the Great, of course, he's got very sophisticated tactics, but how do they get that communicated down the line that the commander now wants you to do that? And And that's the curious one. That's one that Philip Contamine says is music. I would tend to think that it could be drums. It could be banners that are floated. That's the one that often will be used on in Braveheart or, you know, even on Game of Thrones, they'll use the banners to get the units to move one way or another. It's how the ancient Chinese and Japanese did, or medieval Chinese and Japanese did, mostly for banners. But, you know, we're not entirely certain. And it may just have been the initiative of the various nobles, the lords, and the confidence that the commander had in those to make maneuvers that would work out. And that then took the tactics to the next level once the battle had begun.